Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players. Build a Pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Hit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Hello, I'm Paul Giamatti.
And I'm Stephen Asma.
Join us on the Chinwag Podcast every Wednesday, where we trade the banal and the boring for the super strange and bizarre.
They committed human sacrifice?
I did bring up human sacrifice, yes.
You sure did.
That just went by fast.
Gotta casually toss that out.
I would like to have an alien hatch its young inside.
Holy shit, really?
She saw world peace, and I saw demons coming out of the wall.
I will say that there was a green couch outside of the principal's office, and you sat on it if you had lice or if you got into trouble.
They wake you up from the goo pods to live in reality, and you're naked and screaming. It's like...
Follow us for free on Apple Podcasts and all major podcast platforms.
For more information, go to chinwagpod.fm.
And find enlightenment through our Instagram or TikTok at ChinwagPod or on Twitter at Chinwag_pod.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do I do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
r/ is a hilarious podcast where Dabney Bailey uses ridiculous voices and emotions to read aloud the week's craziest Reddit posts.
He reenacts various Reddit threads covering wild stories and secrets, petty revenge, relationships, and much more.
So if you're looking for a daily distraction and a laugh, check out r/ wherever you get your podcasts.
I told Valerie this story, but at Dan and Valerie's wedding, you know, they had the ceremony and it's beautiful and stuff. And then Dan and Valerie disappear into the venue, into the building, while the rest of us are mingling outside and they're rearranging kind of the seating. So it's for the, you know, the reception. And so we're all sitting outside at these different little tables. It was really nicely done because it wasn't like ballroom or banquet tables. It was really just groupings. It'd be like a table and there's a couch and two chairs here. And then over here is an actual dining table. And over there, it's like, almost like a cabana. And it was a nice kind of varied seating thing. So we're all sitting and waiting for them to make their appearance as husband and wife. And I don't know why, I turn around and I look. And standing on the balcony of the venue, in darkness, shrouded in darkness, looking over everybody like a villain waiting for like the poisonous gas to come and kill everybody, is Valerie. And she's got a glass of champagne in her hand. And she looks so evil. Just plotting. He's like, that's right.
I wasn't even drinking champagne. I mean, like,
what were you drinking? What was it? You had a drink in your hand.
I was drinking margaritas.
Oh, that's even better. Yeah. This mass murder is gonna be a party, not just a celebration.
Oh man, good times. It's the day I learned the true nature of Valerie. Just the cold-blooded,
shrouded in darkness,
mass murderer. Yes.
If you're gonna be shrouded in something, it has to be darkness, right?
Either that or neck rubs, right?
What?
Am I right, Michael Douglas?
I could not imagine spending 3 hours on something that I didn't like after 10 minutes. You don't like it. You are a weird individual to keep watching. What are you nuts? You dedicated a week of your life to dislike something? Get a hobby, knit something, go for a walk.
Previously on Cinephobe.
How am I supposed to go back to the me before all of this pain?
Excuse me, we're new in town and we've never had sex before. Would you give us a hand?
I would have rather seen his cock.
Out of way, Bobby!
This episode in this movie exists.
You bet your sweet ass I saw a lawnmower, man.
Oh, Teddy.
I'll call some guys from my neck of the woods. We're not talking, Brooke, about a couple of queens who know a few grapples. We're talking about Polacks that don't have a goddamn future.
You have a stupid heart and a stupid brain.
Regular Einstein.
You think I'm a coward? You're wrong. I'm not a coward. You're the coward. I'm not a coward.
I love cocaine. I do it all the time.
I'm sorry, you guys. I don't mean fag like homosexual. I mean fag like retard.
I got nukes shooting out of my dick right now. I've got so many nukes. Dick nukem.
I mean, look at this buffet of ass.
Mouth to dildo, dildo to ass. Ass to ass. Hi, Brent. Anal beads.
I'm the goddamn talent, Maze.
Look, Gene, I've never told anyone this before.
My head!
But I can suck my own dick. And I do it. A lot.
10:38. This movie is shit.
You don't know shit.
Holy shit, bro. I had the same note too.
And I swear to God, both of you guys are the biggest fucking liars in the world.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
You should have saved this for the train.
All right, au revoir, Lubin. Lisa, solid.
Oh, I mean, why don't you just be like a regular person and dream about regular threesomes? Like clones.
Give me some soul kisses, baby.
Hey, beautiful. What? Oh.
Dang.
Oh.
Oh, my
God. I can't indulge this comparison to a person that Amin may or may not know in a movie that has nothing to do with this podcast.
That's some 20th century shit, bitch.
We will tangle ass.
Say hi to your mother for me.
And you will lose.
What's the end game? Okay, now everyone's dead.
What is fucking Spence from Ballers? Who cares what the end game is?
Your
end
game!
I am proud.
Hahaha.
We now welcome one Valerie Lebatard to, I believe, her podcasting debut within this universe, right? Valerie, I don't know if I'm saying the right thing there, but this is the first time I've heard your voice on a podcast, and I consume quite a bit of the Lebatard Show and Friends content. So welcome to Cinephobe.
Thank you so much. I actually did one, but I'm going to go ahead and give you that.
Okay. Well, it feels like this is the debut.
She did the Greg Cody show, right? Starring Greg Cody?
in the big reveal of the engagement announcement that he betrayed everybody with. Valerie, what is your relationship with the movie Disclosure?
Can you disclose it?
I can disclose. I believe I saw that movie probably when I was way too young, like probably 12 or something.
Oh my God.
Same. Yeah. Same.
Yeah. I feel like I watched a lot of really terrible things when I was really young. So that's really when I got into movies. And specifically level 90s movies.
There are two that I realized I should never have watched as a child. One was Disclosure and the other one was Howard the Duck, which was wildly inappropriate. It was one of my favorite movies as a kid. And I must have seen that when I was like eight or nine, something like that.
Incredibly creepy. Scary. Like, have you rewatched it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's wildly inappropriate and terrifying at the same time. The monsters, everything. It's Leah Thompson trying to have sex with a duck. Like, everything is bad.
Yeah. I remember watching Howard the Duck as a child and being disappointed. Thought it was going to be a lot better.
What?
And then I don't remember watching it again.
I don't believe that you were disappointed in Howard the Duck as a child. There's no way.
I was. I had my hopes up. I thought it was going to be better than that.
Valerie, can you paint a picture for us? Where were you when you saw Disclosure? Did you go to the theaters? Did you see it with some friends? Were you with your parents? What happened?
I used to, when I was really young, I would just watch a lot of movies with my brother. He's 4 years older than me. So I would kind of get all of the movies he would watch. I was home with my brother and my parents were like never there. So it's really sad, actually.
Oh, wow. We're getting in deep here.
I am shrouded in darkness. I mean,
you are shrouded in darkness. That's true.
Every villain has a backstory. Just remember, yeah, there's an origin story.
Yours was just neglect with movies. Like, that's all it was.
Really is.
Who's the villain in Disclosure for you?
Oh, God. I mean, I really hate Michael Douglas in this movie. Like, I think he's a total piece of shit. So I got to say, Michael Douglas, yeah. I'm going with that.
I feel like Demi Moore is, the more I've thought about this, is like not just the hero, but a shining beacon of hope that you can crack into the corporate world. And even though you're going to be painted as a villain, she was like, I'll be back in a few years to buy this place. You know, like, I feel like she's inspirational in this movie.
Jessica, I can't say her last name, the new producer on Lebatard Show, whose name is, her first name is Jessica. Smetty, there you go. She made the comment that, well, no equality has happened when there's a female Stugatz, right? When there's someone who's as brazenly incompetent as Stugatz out here as a brand, as a forward-facing brand. I submit to you that Demi Moore's character was kind of like the announcement of, well, no inequality hits when a woman can be in a position of power to sexually harass, I guess, a male subordinate employee. It's a fantasy in some way, right? Like, this, that's not happening.
I feel like, but now we're getting too deep into your mind here. I don't like that.
Well, here's why, Valerie. Because he asked who's the villain, and because for me, one of the most villainous people was Michael Douglas's wife.
Oh, she was a bitch from the beginning, right?
Thank you.
What?
Thank you.
Okay. First of all, you know, towards the end, I thought she was actually way too fucking cool about all of this. But like the first line, I don't remember what the line was, but it's like the first thing you see from her is that she's being a bitch.
She says to him, because he's calling or he's taking care of like one of his subordinates. And she's like, you're the one person who sucks up to people below you.
Yeah, she's asking him to have a fucking spine. She's saying, look, I'm a hard-nosed lawyer who could go back to work at any time, but you're trying to be the breadwinner here, and I got to take care of these fucking kids every goddamn day, and now I got to get Disneyland tickets for you? I have to get Disney. We live in Seattle. Why would she have Disneyland tickets? Like, no, I'm going to push back on all of this. I think that she is amazing this. I never got the bitch vibe. If anything, I got the, I'm sick of you trying to be like this alpha male that you're not, Michael Douglas.
I think, I don't know. Okay. In the beginning, I really thought she was portrayed as a bitch. I don't think it was her fault. I just think they wanted you to see that about her so that you liked Michael Douglas more in the beginning.
I see.
Okay. So she's used as to make him a sympathetic character.
So, yeah.
Okay. All right. That I can get behind.
I'll buy that, except for the fact that when we get to the where she's insisting, look, I have to accompany you to these, the deposition, because if I don't show up, that's going to look bad. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, she's a lawyer. She knows this stuff.
Okay, no, that's fine. And no, it makes perfect sense, except for the thing that when she said, I have to accompany you, in my mind, I was worried of one thing. And lo and behold, she throws a tantrum.
A tantrum?
Right there at the thing. Yes, she threw a tantrum.
He lied to her.
It doesn't matter. You got to keep it cool. You got to wait till we get in the car before we do this. You can't do this out in public. She blew the whole case.
It wasn't in public. It was a private meeting with her and Michael Douglas. And the only other people that could see were Catherine Alvarez, Michael Douglas's lawyer.
Blew the whole case? They won the case. What are you talking about?
The other side. The other side. They're on the other side of the glass.
The other side was in some other glass offices on the other side of the mediation lair. They kept it separate.
Erroneous.
Valerie, what do you think of her performance in the deposition? Because she does say, like, I need to be there for you. It's going to look bad if I'm not there. I have to be the supportive wife. And then in there, she's taking a lot of it very well, but also you can see the look on her face. It's not a great poker face. Like, she is affected by a lot of this.
I mean, yeah, I think anybody would be if they had to hear everything that went down and that Demi Moore was giving her husband a BJ and all of the details. Like, I feel like if your husband's cheating on you, you don't want to hear the details. You just kind of want to accept what has happened or don't accept it and move on. So yeah, I think anybody would have that kind of reaction.
For Michael Douglas in the meeting, the real turning point where he goes up there to discuss these issues with the Archimax, I think it was called. It feels like he's so stupid because you can clearly see that she is setting him up with all this stuff. And I'm curious, how did he think he was going to run a company if he's this dumb and can't see these obvious plays in front of him?
I think Demi Moore was just, she knew that he was, you know, Bambi, and she came right in and she targeted him. And yeah, I mean, I do think he was stupid. And also he was made to be this innocent, you know, creature to be preyed upon by Demi Moore. She's supposed to be the villain.
Right.
I had another submission for villain, and it's Stephanie, who orchestrated this whole thing with vague emails, like the vaguest of emails, instead of just telling them, look, she's coming to get you, dude. Don't fall for it. No, I'm going to email anonymously. and it's anonymous. So you could give detail at that point, but no, I'm going to take a step further and make it like a fortune cookie. And at the end, lo and behold, who benefits from all this? Stephanie.
Heady play.
It is a heady play. I do think that she was kind of the hero of the whole story. And I was totally into it. I think Stephanie, I wanted to be her at the end of that movie.
Wow.
Yeah. I'll say it.
Wow. Okay.
The stealth bomber.
Every villain has an origin story, ladies and gentlemen. 12-year-old Valerie sitting there at the end of that
just
movie.
Taking her notes.
Her eyes grow wide as she realizes, oh, in the shadows with the marionette strings, pulling them thusly and making everyone dance, cowards.
Valerie, Michael Douglas had a string of roles in the 80s and 90s where he is this sex symbol. He has women throwing themselves at him. He's never guilty of anything. It's always just happening to him. What do you think of Michael Douglas? Is he a handsome man?
Too much knitwear in all of those movies. He was always wearing some stupid sweater. And the second thing is, I think I'm not attracted to him. Like, I don't really get it. I don't understand why he was this like sex symbol in every movie. And I thought he was like way too like narcissistic all the time. I don't get it. However, I will say Donald Sutherland in that movie.
Donald Sutherland can eternally get it. Oh my God. I mean, Donald Sutherland.
Was it the beard?
Yes. Yeah. The beard. I mean, he was, he was sexy. And I'm not just saying that because like I have daddy issues and he's an old man. Like I'm not. He's a sexy man.
No, because Michael Douglas, the idea that he's going to be the VP doesn't make sense, right? He's sniveling, he's whiny, he like doesn't see the power plays in front of him. Donald Sutherland, I buy that dude's a billionaire and that he's in charge of this entire tech company. I buy that 100%.
And that $100 million is the difference between life and death for me.
That doesn't make so much sense to me in terms of just the money of it. I don't think the money works in this movie, but yeah, Donald Sutherland can get it. Absolutely.
Okay, I want to go back to that, Zach and Valerie. You guys are praising Donald. So you guys watched The Undoing with Nicole Kidman on HBO last year.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sure seeing did. Donald Sutherland there and you're saying sex symbol.
I'm saying undo me, Donald. That's what I was saying during that entire series. You kidding me? Forget Hugh Grant. Forget Nicole Kidman. That's the real power player there. Woo.
God, he was regal in that movie.
He was regal.
Surrounded by everything around him was beautiful and classical and his outfits were wonderful. Like I'm sure he was wearing silk half the time.
So
you're taking the Sutherlands, Donald and Kiefer, over Kirk and Michael Douglas. Head to head, Hollywood royalty.
I'm good on Kiefer, but if it gets me Donald, I'll take Kiefer.
Yeah.
Also, Kiefer's very short, which I don't like. Kiefer's very short.
I don't mind.
Michael Douglas is short, as we pointed out in the pod last time. Valerie, I got a question. So I asked this question to the guys. If you were Dennis Miller's character and your friend has been accused of this thing, what sort of approach is it? Because Dennis Miller's character took a very kind of, you did this and you ruined this for everybody. He didn't even stand by his friend or anything. He's just thinking about his bonus. How would you behave if your friend were accused of something like that?
Okay, he straight up went to the dinner with his wife and Michael Douglas and her and his wife and just said everything. He put everything out on the table. He totally outed his friend. Like, I think he's a total piece of shit for doing that.
Yeah.
Like, I would privately, I'd pull my friend aside and I would say, what did you do here? Because this is not cool. And yeah, I would not involve his wife at all. Just that was a really shitty move.
Even if millions of dollars were on the table, Valerie?
Yeah. Pull him aside. Take him, you know, to a different area of the whatever this weird dinner thing they were at.
The Arboretum.
Yeah. And talk to him privately. It was just, he's an asshole. I always think he's an asshole, but I hated him especially.
What was the name of the programmer who was only 23?
Don Cherry.
One of my favorite things about this movie is how many people who at the time were written to be like sympathetic characters. And in retrospect, like, you're a piece of shit too.
Well, yeah, this is the thing I don't really remember because, again, I was like 12 when I saw this movie is I don't know if like, do we think at the time it held up? Do we think at the time it was
like the tech jargon?
Not the tech jargon, just the personalities. Just the, like, I can't give a fuck if the tech jargon holds up.
Well, that's not what they call storage devices at all. What is this, the 20th century?
20th century, bitch. The idea of, like, you know, he's a sympathetic character. Like, you know, Don Cherry's a good guy. Dennis Miller is, you know, backstabbed and then has to backstab. Like, is there anyone at the time in this movie? Because I think now in the retrospect of what's happened in the 26 years since or whatever it's been, 27 years, that we're like, okay, we have more knowledge of like what's acceptable in a workplace. Like obviously slapping your assistant on the ass with a file folder, not okay. Like, but at the time, were people looking at that and going, yeah, it's fine. It's just guys being guys.
I think so. I think even then they wanted you to be sympathetic for Michael Douglas. Like they, at the end, do you remember what happened when she comes back, the assistant comes back and slaps him on the ass? Like, like it was no big deal.
Got you back. Yeah.
I was mortified. I think.
You were mortified.
I didn't know you could get mortified. So Valerie, you told me something hilarious when we decided to bring you on this podcast was you said anytime Disclosure is on, you'll stop and watch it.
Oh, yeah.
What about Disclosure brings you back?
I like the feeling of sitting in awkward. Like, I think there's so many awkward moments in that. Like, I think it was just gold. The sex scene in that alone is like, it's probably the most awkward I've felt in a movie.
Are you hoping to jump onto the cable channel before the sex scene? If it's after the sex scene, are you less likely to hang with the movie?
Oh, I'm a lot more likely the sex scene's coming, but I'll still watch.
So I asked Zach, I said, if he were in a similar situation where he was being accosted and ravished by this woman, and he said, no, 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 no. And then at one point, 31 no's equals a yes, tears the underwear off of Demi Moore and is on the verge of insertion. And then at that point says, I can't do this.
Well, he looked at himself in the reflection.
But my point was this. I said, at that point, you've already cheated, right? Like, it's...
He was fingering her.
He was fingering her and he got his dick sucked.
And, oh, yeah.
That wasn't his fault, though. The getting his dick sucked was not his fault.
Are you freaking kidding me? It's Demi Moore. I know he made the whole... You know, he said that she does an hour. I don't know what he said.
An hour on the Stairmaster every day.
Every day. She could kick everyone's ass. Like, no, she couldn't. You're just because you're short doesn't mean you couldn't push a woman away. Like, when she's trying to give you a blowjob. And I also want to note, like, that had the most amazingly, like, the music kind of, like, was making it like this was a traumatic thing for him. Like, the music was very dramatic. It was probably the most, like.
He didn't look traumatized. Let me tell you. He did not.
Nor did I.
The most dramatic blowjob in a movie ever, you guys think?
Oh, no, no.
Has there been a more dramatic blowjob?
Swordfish. Swordfish.
That's true.
Valerie, have you seen Swordfish?
I was probably 11 when I saw Swordfish.
So before disclosure.
Well, no.
We're going to have a conversation with your parents.
Or your brother. I mean, like someone.
You know, they don't even know it's my birthday today, so it's okay.
Wait, it's your birthday?
Today's my birthday, yeah.
You're doing this on your birthday?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, yeah.
What a gift. Happy birthday.
Thank you. I wouldn't trade it for a thing, talking about disclosure on my birthday.
Are you a big birthday person? Like, is that something that's a big deal to you?
I do like birthdays, yeah.
Okay.
I like my birthday and everyone's birthday.
Amin doesn't like anyone's birthday. He won't wish anybody happy birthday, even in a meaningless text. But I like celebrating someone's birthday. I like celebrating my own birthday if it's someone else's idea. But I don't like getting people organized to celebrate my birthday. I don't know if that's a narcissistic thing. I don't know what that is. But there's something where I'm like, I don't want to do it. But if you guys want to celebrate, I'm in. Otherwise, I'm cool to just chill.
I think you want to feel special.
Right.
You're going to do this whole thing and invite all these people and then you look like an asshole because you've done this huge production.
Right. That's how I feel about it. Yeah.
This is my thing. It's not that I don't like sell. I mean, if you said, hey, we're all getting together Zach's birthday at the Surly Goat, which is a bar that Zach likes a lot in LA. I'm there.
Well, we both like, what was that intonation? Like you wanted to go there more than I have.
You feel betrayed now, don't you?
I feel betrayed because this asshole, it goes there and there's this one bartender who he and Amin talk about the show Black Sails on Stars, which they're the show. Only two God. People who's ever watched the show.
No.
And they get to talk about it together and that's it. Because one of the actors sometimes goes in there, but we've never seen him.
No, but it's still cool though, man. We go to the bar where the actor goes to. But also, I go because you like it. Not because
I went because it was close to my old place.
Anyways, if that were the scenario, I will go. I will have a ball. In fact, the last birthday party I went to was Arash Markazi's birthday in West Hollywood. I flew from Boston, landed in L.A., dropped my stuff off at the hotel, and went straight to it. You know why?
Because
I love a... No, it was an open bar. But there might have been. But I love a good time. I love a good time. I love celebrating a good time. But like cards, texts, gifts, these things do not interest me at all. And I find them very kind of robotic and formulaic. We're going through the motions because that's what society tells us, ooh, we got to do this. The only birthdays I will actually get gifts and cards and stuff for are my kids. And that's just because I want them to grow up well-adjusted. I don't want them to grow up and be like 25 years old and say, I've never had a birthday in my life, you know, and then they turn into serial killers or whatever. So that's the only reason I do birthdays for them. But otherwise, I'm like,
okay,
I don't care. My birthday was 2 weeks ago. Did any of you guys wish me a happy birthday? No. And I don't care. That's why.
You probably just didn't tell anybody it was your birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Amin. Belated.
Too late.
I'm not going to wish you a happy birthday.
Don't do it.
Thank
yeah.
you. Thank you. That way, see, it's a quid pro quo here. See, I don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. Life's easier.
But anything, if anything, that's her celebrating your birthday for you in the fullest because now you don't get it. So it's actually a good little bit of reverse psychology. Right? You don't want people to say happy birthday. You don't want people to celebrate it. And by her saying, I'm not going to wish him a happy birthday, now she has actually done the thing that you thought you wanted. But by doing that, she has now celebrated it.
No, 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 no. Classic. No, no. Here's the deal.
Back to your question about the 31 no's. What were you trying to throw me under the bus for?
No, I'm just saying that at that point, Michael Douglas should have gone on with it. Like it's too late. There's no part of this that would save the act. He's already committed adultery three or four different ways here.
He has committed adultery there, but also it could get a lot worse, right? I think a moment of consciousness maybe saves his marriage in that moment. Whereas if he just goes full bore, then that shit's over. He's got custody hearings now. He's getting housed in a divorce because, by the way, wife's a lawyer. But he's getting destroyed. And he's losing his job because it was a setup.
Valerie, do you think Michael Douglas redeemed himself by stopping after both digital and oral penetration?
I didn't say he redeemed himself. I'm just saying it could have been a lot worse.
He saved his marriage?
Yes.
I think it would be a lot worse for her if he went all the way and then tried to regret it later. At least he regretted it in the middle of it. Mm-hmm.
So there is a line, because the movie clearly believes that there's a line between blowjob and fingering and full-on sex.
Yeah, I mean, well, okay, he could have, you know, contracted something from Demi Moore. We don't know, you know, at this time, we don't know where she's been. We don't know,
good call.
You know, like she could be doing this all over the world. We don't know.
She's a sexually aggressive woman, Valerie. Yeah. She likes it.
She is, and that's okay, you know? But like, he could have gotten her pregnant. I don't think that they had a condom.
No, there was no protection in there.
It got way worse, I think. Slightly redeemed.
It's a health concern as well, I mean.
I think I found the real villain that we haven't named. We didn't even name it in the original episode. The real villain was whoever told Michael Douglas's kids.
Oh, yeah. Valerie, that's a wild moment where his daughter's like, I never believe what they said about you, Dad. And it's literally been 3 days since he was fingering Demi Moore. Like three. It's been 3 days. Like the timeline in this movie is insane.
That's really funny because I feel like I must have fallen asleep. I didn't tell you guys, but I had to rent this movie twice because I kept falling asleep and it had lapsed like, and it's like 48 hours or whatever when I decided to pick up again. Yeah, there was a lot of really bad stuff in that movie. I nodded off.
Who was the hero of the movie, Valerie?
Was her name Stephanie, right?
Oh, Stephanie? Oh, yeah, that's right. You said Stephanie. I thought it was Muhammad.
What?
Muhammad doesn't have that conversation with him. He doesn't know, like, you know, thanking him about the Disneyland tickets and all that. He doesn't know that there's a separate conversation being recorded on the Jakarta side or Jakarta, where were they? In Malaysia. Malaysia, it was Malaysia and Kuala Lumpur. And then also he sends him the transcripts via fax on one long sheet of paper.
This feels biased.
Well, why is it biased, Zach?
What?
Because a guy named Muhammad can't be the hero? Is that what you're saying?
No, Muhammad is often the hero.
Often? Name another movie. Name another movie where Muhammad's
Muhammad
the hero.
Ali, dick. How about that?
Name another one. Name a second one.
Name two. I want Stephanie to be the hero. I like this idea, but her son sucks so much, I can't give it to her. Her son is terrible. I hate his hair. I hate his chin. I hate that stupid ass grin on his face. Like, he's like, your mother's an incredible woman. He's like, you're just now finding this out. How is that the last line you end a movie on? Like, that can't be it.
I know.
That's awful ending. I'm going with Demi Moore. I think Demi Moore's the hero in this. She unearthed all this stuff. She was set up by sexy Donald Sutherland to do this plan and then take the fall when it didn't work. And okay, she didn't play the game correctly, right? Like, she struggles throughout playing this game, but it was also set up to destroy everyone but Donald Sutherland, because in the end, he still wins. So I think Demi Moore is the hero, and I think she is going to come back and buy that place in a few years.
Yeah, when they're bankrupt for selling faulty drives that don't work and CD-ROMs. Hey,
that's good business. You buy low, you sell high.
Valerie, when Michael Douglas comes home with scratches on his chest, he's feeling a little shitty. He just goes straight to the shower, and his wife says, "No kiss?"
That's not why he went straight to the shower.
Not feeling shit.
It's because he was feeling shitty. Zach, you know, he had a tough day, all right?
He thinks he's going to get caught.
Yeah.
Do you insist upon a hello kiss when Dan comes home? And if he didn't, would you be suspicious?
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, I'd be like, what was that all about? Because clearly that's what they do, like, every single time he comes home. That's why she said no kiss.
Right. It's out of the norm.
Something a little fishy going on.
Do you guys kiss as soon as you, like, you've been apart, you walk in after a long day or whatever? Do you kiss as soon as you see each other?
I don't think it's like that. I don't think it's always, but if it were.
The other thing about that scene that triggered me was the wife walks into the bathroom with the beer, which, by the way, we didn't mention this. She then proceeds to drink herself. So thus eliminating the whole. Well, I mean, then get him.
Took a little sip.
Get your own beer.
She doesn't want a beer. She just wants a sip.
Yeah, she just wants a sip.
I want to talk about the concept of the conversation that happens in the bathroom. I'm using the facilities, and here comes Mrs. Michael Douglas, whose name escapes me now, to have a full-on conversation. Like, can we wait until I get out the shower? So, Valerie, what is your policy on bathroom conversation?
First of all, I'd like to say that she got him a beer because as soon as he walked in from cheating on her, he fucking said, "Fetch me a beer."
Yeah.
And plug in my cell phone.
Yeah.
Like, oh, here's your second task after I cheat on you. Here's what you have to do now.
But she's the bitch. Right. Yeah. She's the bitch wife, I mean.
That's
great
misdirection. Great misdirection. He's got to get in the bathroom without her noticing.
Exactly. But it was all very selfish. And so once he gets in the shower, he's turned around. She wants to talk a little bit. And I will answer the question because we talk, my husband and I talk all day, all night in the bathroom. So I love a good bathroom conversation.
The acoustics are great.
Yeah.
Acoustics are great. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. My voice sounds good. So I feel like.
That's the important part.
So the scratches on his chest, he's hiding from her. And then she finally is going to hand him the beer when he comes out. And he's hiding. He doesn't dry off at all. He's soaking wet. He takes the towel. He just puts the
towel up here
on his, like, what is, like, a baby? Like, what is that?
Yeah, he swaddles nothing.
So modest.
Yeah, it was just gross. All of it was gross.
I don't know how long that towel is, but I'm guessing even on such a short man as Michael Douglas, like, that previously cheating dick, just hanging out there, air drying.
No, he definitely, first of all, it was definitely, like, not the hand towel, but, like, the dry your hands towel, like, in the bathroom. It looked like a beach towel on him. Right. Because he threw it here, he did a very interesting thing. Like, the bottom of the towel basically covered the scratch, and then the rest of it went up, and he just dried his hair.
Right.
While the rest of everything was just soaking, dripping wet, as Zach pointed out. Again, heady play. But why can't you guys wait until, like, the bathroom activity has ended in order to commence conversation? Is it pressing, or are you guys just, like, this need for efficiency? What is it?
I think she was not used to having a woman call at 7 o'clock at night and say, "Oh, a meeting's been changed in the morning." Like, and she was like, "What the hell was that about?" So first of all, I don't get my kiss. And now I have to talk about this phone call.
That's a great point.
Are we sure that Demi Moore lied to her on that conversation and she didn't just fuck up the times? That's the other thing I've been thinking about a lot.
What are we doing here? What are we doing here?
Well, I'm painting a picture of someone who's unreliable, who is erratic.
Unreliable? Did Muhammad get those tickets and that upgrade at the hotel? Unreliable.
Yeah, like, after she gave him shit about it, like, I got to throw a ticker tape parade every time you do something?
This is absurd. This is absurd. No, the bathroom.
Power rankings. Stephanie, villain number one. Number two, the wife. Number three, whoever told the kids that their dad was diddling someone 3 days earlier.
The better question, do we think the mom, the wife, or the nanny?
Chow Man.
Do we think she told? Because Valerie, at one point, Michael Douglas says, hey, Chow Man, get down here. I'm going to exert my dominance. Like, he loses it. And that has to be, even for 1994, that has to be a problematic situation.
Did he mean that he was going to, like, have sex with her? Like,
yeah. Yes! In front of the wife.
I mean, yeah. Just another reason Michael Douglas is the villain of this movie.
Zach, if you were the babysitter and you were summoned thusly and yelled at by Michael Douglas to get down here, sans context, you don't know anything. You just hear them yelling. You came, hey, guys, can you keep it down? Kids are sleeping. And Michael Douglas looks up at you and says, why don't you get down here? I want to exert my dominance. Would you then turn around and tell the kids, yo, your daddy is some shit?
Yeah. He walked back in there. Like, they're like, what's that noise? Like, your dad is wilding right now. Oh, my God. You would not believe what he just said to me. And here's why. He apparently has been dicking his boss at all, you know, in the office. Like, that's what's going on.
Less than 48 hours ago. His dick was in her mouth.
Did the kids have details? I could have used a deleted scene on this child finding what she knew.
I never believed what they said about you. Like, what did they say about me?
I actually think maybe the children were a villain as well, because from the very beginning, they were super annoying. Like, come on. Okay. She asked.
She's reading his email.
Yeah, I know. And just the conversation they were having, like, just annoying kids. And then the mom had asked one of the children if they had peed. And as soon as they get in the car, he's like, I have to pee. After he had said he peed. Like, he's a bit of a villain.
Guys, you know what Valerie just laid out? The same exact argument that Hook laid out in the movie Hook, where he tells the kids, hey, your parents hate you. You've ruined their lives.
The reason they send you to bed early so they can just have 3 minutes of peace.
And you know what Hook was in the movie Hook?
Hero.
The villain. Valerie, have you seen Hook?
I think I need to rewatch that. I don't.
No, you don't.
You don't. Trust it's
2.5 hours.
Yeah, it's so long. Wow. Yeah.
2.5 hours.
Okay, I have a question, because before.
I was going to plug our podcast, but go ahead, Zach.
Plug the podcast that people are listening to?
Yes, go back and listen to the Hook episode. It was really good.
Now, what is cinephobia mean?
Oh,
but don't watch the movie.
I guess watch the movie. All right.
Don't watch the movie. So Dan said before we started rolling that because he heard us talking about Smoking Aces, if Smoking Aces is on TV, he will stop and hate watch it. If Disclosure is on TV, you will stop and watch it. So if both movies are on, which movie is getting watched, or are we retiring to separate rooms to where both people can be fulfilled with their movie watching?
We're probably watching Smoking Aces because of that elevator scene.
Oh, spoiler. Future callback. I still haven't finished it. I'm 30 minutes in.
The elevator scene's great.
Just know that's the only reason to watch the movie.
I thought the same about Disclosure for the elevator scene.
Going down.
Oh, yeah.
No, not that one. The one with Donald Sutherland.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Oh.
Right? Okay. His panic attack. My fantasy.
Okay, so this leads me to a conversation we had. We have an award we give out each podcast to the actor who acted his or her ass off, meaning it was an incredible performance, and the actor who acted his or her ass on, meaning he left a lot to be desired. And Michael Douglas got shoved into the acting his ass on category because of his reaction waking up out of that panic attack / nightmare. His scream just wasn't convincing.
It wasn't believable.
Ah.
Because it wasn't a scream of panic, nor was it a scream of delight, right? Because I could see waking up from that nightmare, quote unquote, and then all of a sudden just like, whoa, we get back to sleep. That's exciting. Donald's coming for me.
You feel the tension in the dreams right now? I know I do. I feel it all the way into my plums.
Did you see how soundly she was sleeping when he woke up in a night terror? Like, is she used to this?
Oh, that's a good question. Does he have night terrors? Yeah.
He didn't make them at all.
That's a great observation. I didn't even think of that.
He was sleeping like a baby next to him.
Oh, my God.
That Ambien.
Clearly, she wasn't staying up all night worrying about why he avoided the kiss and why he was covering his chest. He deflected that, and she was able to sleep peacefully.
Why is he wearing a t-shirt? Does Dan wear a t-shirt to bed, or is he just topless?
No, Dan's always topless at home.
Always?
Yeah.
As soon as he gets home, his shirt comes off.
Pretty much.
Does he fling it down with the disgust of, like, I'm sick of these cages?
Yeah. Like, I find shirts everywhere all the time. They're all over the house.
I'm the same way with pants. As soon as I'm in the door, pants or shorts are off. Like, I hate wearing pants. So I get that. They do feel like cages.
I'm the same way with a bra.
Yeah.
As soon as I get home, it is like party time.
Gotta go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm big on basketball shorts, man. They're just nice and comfy.
Yeah, outside.
No, everywhere. Basketball shorts. That's where I come to record in my little condo studio or whatever. And I literally will take off.
I don't need to know. This is too much information. Yeah.
See, they're right here. My pants are right here. Took them off. Put on my basketball shorts. Now I can work. Now I can record it.
Why wouldn't you just wear basketball shorts there?
No, because you never know what's going to happen between there and here.
What?
What do you mean?
You never know what's going to happen. It's unpredictable.
Like, you might find yourself in a meeting? What are you talking about?
You never know. I like being presentable when I go. And also, I love pockets, right? Like, back pocket.
You like being presentable.
I do. It's shameful to show a man's shins, you know.
No. Sky's out, thighs out. That's my motto. If the sky's out, the thighs need to be out.
I said shins.
Valerie, we have another award on this podcast called the Golden Dumpster, which is either the best, worst, or most memorable moment. Is it safe to say that yours is the elevator fantasy?
Can we just go back really quick to that other one?
Ass on, ass off? Yes, please. Yeah.
Who was acting their ass off?
I would like to nominate the guy on the ferry that we saw twice in the movie for some reason.
Yes, the jobless man.
What was he doing there? He's like the ghost of unemployment past. It's so strange to keep seeing him.
I'll tell you what he was doing there. He was interrupting people on their phone calls.
Oh my God.
On the phone, just talking.
And thinking of the golden days of yesteryear when you could just, you know, not have to worry about a woman taking your job.
These broads.
Oh my God.
Out of control.
Yeah, he was there for us. He was there for no other reason except to, like, make us feel like there was some kind of weird thing going on with job disparity.
Right. These damn women coming for our jobs. Can't have it.
Not accurate.
Okay. Yeah. I like that for ass off. I like that. Who had their ass on?
I think Michael Douglas, like in the first part where he was talking to that guy who was explaining, the guy who kept sending the nuts. Who was that guy?
The guy from Malaysia. Not yeah. Muhammad, but
not
the,
Muhammad, the other
guy,
dude.
The white
yeah.
guy. Yeah.
Arthur.
Arthur, yeah.
Yeah, in the beginning. And it was just like, I was like, what are you doing, dude? You don't seem concerned about this at all. I feel like your heart's really not in. So yeah, I'm going to say Michael Douglas is the worst actor in the movie.
All right. Golden Dumpster, Valerie?
Oh, you know what my favorite thing was in this entire movie? Is when he and Demi were done with the dramatic blowjob scene. He told Demi Moore, why don't you take those two champagne bottles and you fuck them? You know, like I honestly, I feel like one champagne bottle would be enough. Like, why would she take two champagne? Like,
well, she's an aggressive sexual woman, you know, and she likes it and you can't handle it. So
they used to experiment with vibrators and other technology.
Yeah. No offense to your knowledge of this movie, Valerie, but I feel like Michael Douglas's character knows her sexual habits a little bit better.
Ours too. Got it.
Yeah. There's a history there. Yeah.
She threatened his life, by the way. I just thought about that right now. Like, that's a real wild reaction to being turned down for sex. Like, just to scream, I'll kill you. Oh, my God. What a movie. You saw this when you were 12, you said?
Yes, 12 years old. Valerie, phobe or file for the movie Disclosure?
Oh, phobe. It's terrible.
Wow.
Terrible movie. Wow.
So it's a hate watch for you.
It's a hate watch. Yeah, I want to watch it over and over again. I love to hate it.
There's so much tension.
I'm kind of taken aback.
Yeah, I thought there was going to be an easy file.
Yeah. You spoke so fondly of this movie.
Well, did she though? There's a lot of this sucks, the bitch wife, a lot of, you know.
Shout out to the bitch wife. I'm glad I'm not the only one, man. Oh, they made it God. Seem like I just, I was out of control.
Well, it's a pattern of behavior with you.
What? It's a pattern of behavior. Supposed to
You've be. Called Carla Gugino the bitch wife in a movie where she wasn't anybody's wife.
Wait, what movie was that?
Snake Eyes. You're like, oh yeah, she always plays the bitch wife. And I'm like, she what does are you always talking play about?
The bitch wife. I'm saying that's the role that she always plays.
She can do no wrong.
She's typecast.
No, she's not. There's no way.
I have another golden dumpster about this movie, I think. So he was talking, he was arguing with his wife after that like dinner thing. And she said about Demi Moore, was she trying to quit smoking as if like, by putting a dick in her mouth would help her. So like
oral fixation.
Yeah. So
I didn't even pick up on that. That's a great line.
There's a dickerette joke in there somewhere.
She's the one that asked them, how did Demi Moore look?
Yeah. Rate her on a 10 scale.
Yeah. I would have done that.
What's the right answer to give?
I feel like he was on the right path by being truthful. Cause if she would have seen her, like,
you can't lie.
You'd know. Yeah. So, I mean, I know he meant 10 when he said 9, and so did his wife knew it too.
He started with 8.
8. And she's like, really? And he's like, man, 9. Yeah.
Would you have followed up with, what am I on a 10 scale?
No.
Oh, that, no. You can't. No.
You can't do that.
No.
No. You can't do that to anyone. I mean, that's just not, it's not right.
But it does happen. You can't do it, but that is, I think that's typically the, well, then what am I?
Really?
I think so. Well, in my experience in the past, yes. That question is a gateway to a fight.
Hey, Zach, now who's got a pattern of behavior?
What?
Yeah, that's right. I've never been asked that question.
Okay.
Yeah. You know why?
Because you're a misogynist?
They like to throw words.
I think it would be very truthful. I mean, I would be afraid to ask you. Like, yeah.
Valerie, but here's the thing. Here's a little information maybe you don't have, is that Amin has been pretending to like numerology just to impress one woman on Instagram. So if you ever see him posting 11-11, feel the power or something like that, you know, that's...
The universe talks to me, Valerie, and Zach is upset because he doesn't have that same connection with that. With a higher energy force or being out there. It's all good, Zach. You'll find it one day.
Has that energy force or being DM'd you back?
No, has it? But I know it hears my pleas. It hears my cries.
I'm hoping she's going to listen.
She will. She will. Well, Valerie, thank you so much for joining us for this this part of the Disclosure podcast. And we were very excited to, we even bumped a previous guest idea because once your interest in Disclosure was known, it had to be you for this guest spot. So thank you for, I'll just say it, whether it's true or not, making your podcasting debut on the Cinephobe podcast.
Thank you so much. I wouldn't want to do anything else on my birthday.
What a great way to spend your birthday. Just, I mean, you guys can go get drinks and dinner later, but it's not going to compare to this.
It's all downhill from here, yeah. Valerie.
This was super fun.
Next time we make love, you introduce me to Jade.
Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.